Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to bring a lesson from God's Word. Again, I want to thank all the visitors for being here this morning and hope that if there's anything that we can do to help you in your spiritual walk, I hope that you'll just let us know and we'll be glad to do whatever we can to help you. The comments for my lesson this morning is about Thanksgiving. And the text I would like to focus on this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. And Paul tells us here in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So as we look at these verses here this morning and think about them, verse 16 tells us that we should rejoice always. Joy comes from knowing that God is with us in every circumstance in our lives. And verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. In other words, to have a prayerful attitude at all times. And this attitude is to be within us. It's to be in our hearts and in our souls. And we should be acknowledging our dependence on God and realizing His presence within us and determining to rely on Him and Him only. And as we look here at verse 18, it commands us to give thanks to God because He'll supply everything that we need. Everything that we need for life and everything that we need for godliness. When you say the word Thanksgiving, we would immediately think about this national holiday that we're about to celebrate this week. We think of all the wonderful food. We think of the football games and the elaborate parades that we'll see on our televisions. Others are just thankful that they have the day off and that they can relax and think about all those wonderful leftovers. And I have to admit that some of these thoughts go through my mind as well when I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, especially when I'm thinking about those leftovers. Thanksgiving actually probably means all those things that I've just described to many of us. And we realize that how blessed we are with food and with friends and family. But for the child of God, for the Christian, it should go a lot deeper than the things that we can see and feel and touch. For the Christian, giving thanks should go way beyond celebrating just one day. Where would we be? Where would we be? How could we exist, spiritually speaking, without a relationship with God our Father? And without a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ? Is it possible to put a price on the love that God has for each one of us? God is worthy to receive all our praise. Let's turn over to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, as we think about the praise for our Lord. Beginning there in verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" You know, it isn't possible to describe in just a few words what God has done for each one of us. He sacrificed His only Son to spare you and me from the agony and from the pain of eternal separation from Him. In Ephesians 1, in verse 7 and 8, it tells us, "In Jesus we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us with all wisdom and insight." Just think of this. we have right now. We have this very moment, one more day of life, one more hour of life, to confess Jesus as our Savior. One more hour to repent and to be baptized. One more day to prepare for that final day when we'll all have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for our lives to the very one who gave us life. There isn't enough time to list all the things that our Father blesses us with. But just think of how thankful we should be for just time, and how thankful we should be for His instruction, for His holy word, for His Bible that guides us. And as we look back here on Psalms 103, let's notice a few things that the psalmist gives thanks for here. He forgives our sins, yours and mine. And there's no sin that is so great that cannot be repented of. In verse 3 and through 5 there, we can see the kindness and the mercy that God grants to sinners. And what a wonderful blessing. God is not a scorekeeper of our sins. When we repent, He forgives and He forgets. There's no memory of our ugly past in the heart of our Lord. And what a wonderful blessing this is. Another thing we can see here in Psalms 103 is that God heals. He heals in many ways, and we receive spiritual healings through Christ's death on the cross. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24 and 25, it reads, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and Guardian of your souls." So our Father not only heals us spiritually, but He also heals us physically. His words instruct us to pray for healing of the sick so that they might recover. In James 5, beginning in verse 13, "Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And again, as we look back on Psalms 103, God redeems us. We have been rescued. We have been saved from spiritual death by Jesus' death on the cross. In Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, "For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." And Jesus gave this precious gift of redemption to all who would only receive it. It's a free gift. All we have to do is receive it. He gives us this great inheritance, enabling us to share in His kingdom. But sadly, so much of the world chooses not to accept it. Another thing we can see here in Psalms 103 and verse 4, it tells us that God crowns us with love and compassion. And we can see this love and compassion manifested in the personal life of Jesus over and over and over again. Of the many scriptures that we could turn to, I'm using Matthew 9, verses 35 and 36. It reads that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. God demonstrated His love for us by His death, by the death of His only Son. In Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Again in Psalms 103, there in verse 5, "God satisfies our desires with good things." His Word teaches us that every perfect gift comes from His hand. In James 1, verse 17 and 18, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created." Again there in Psalms 103 and verse 5, it teaches us that He renews. God's Word is a fountain for our souls. Even though this body of ours is decaying, and eventually this body will die, our inner spirit is revitalized day by day. Sadly, there are those who deny or distort God's authority and power by refusing to love Him, by refusing to worship Him. They believe that their successes in life are from their own devices and from their own abilities and not God's. Paul talks about this arrogance and this ingratitude in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away." Paul here was warning Timothy that there would be people who would follow after these sinful ways, not only during his lifetime, but in the future. And Paul also lets us know here that there's a sense of urgency, because we are currently living in the last days, and we can currently see these sinful characteristics that are being practiced today by those in the world, those who are worldly, and even sadder, by some who claim to be Christians. Paul is describing people who are selfish, who are full of ingratitude, they're unthankful, they're lovers of self and despisers of good. Paul's description of these sinful, worldly people describes the current condition of many in our society as well. Instead of being thankful for the things that they have, they take everything for granted. The attitude is that they have a right to these things. And beyond that, they even demand more. And some people are unthankful, even when help does come their way. We ourselves need to understand that we need to teach our children how to appreciate the blessings that God gives us. And showing gratitude or showing thankfulness isn't just going through the thank you motions without any sincerity. We should show gratitude in such a heartfelt way as to let that person know that you really, truly appreciated that gift or that help that they tried to give you. And sometimes it's so hard. It's so hard to even get a look of appreciation, let alone a card or a phone call or a thank you handshake from some. Jesus ran across people like this during His time on earth as well. We can turn over to Luke 17, verse 12. And it begins reading there in verse 12 of Luke 17. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that they went, and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any to be found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan?" And he said, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Out of all these 10 lepers, all of them who had a disease that was a death sentence, only one, a Samaritan, came back to express how thankful he was for his blessing. How thankful he was to have received this blessing from the Lord, while the other 9 simply took their blessing for granted. And as we read these verses here, look at the heartfelt response of this one leper. He returned and glorified God. He fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him. He didn't come back and just shake Jesus' hand and say thanks. He was not only thankful inwardly in his heart, but his heartfelt gratitude caused him to fall on his face at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of the one who just cleansed him, and he gave Jesus the glory and the honor for saving his life. And the scriptures tells us that this thankful man was not only a leper, but he was also a Samaritan. And Samaritans of that day were despised by the Jews. Samaritans were thought to be idolatrous half-breeds. And just a side note here, this man, this Samaritan, had faith in Jesus, a Jew. And Jesus also shows us here that God's grace is for everyone. God loves us. He sent his only son to die that you and I might live. And we read that scripture in John 3 and verse 16 all the time. He wants to be part of our lives. He blesses us each and every day. He promises the necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing. And we should thank him for everything that we have and everything that we are. And just think of the country that we live in. We are so blessed to live in a country here in America. First of all, as a nation, according to Wikipedia, and I looked these statistics up, our nation makes up about 5% of the world's population. Yet we're one of the richest nations in the world, even given our current economic situation. And we hear about poverty in the United States. But our poverty, as we define it, doesn't even come close to the poverty that there is in other countries. Because millions of people around the world who are really in poverty, literally, are starving to death. And mostly those are the young and the helpless. And all they have is the clothes on their back, if they have that. And we see this kind of poverty on our news and in our documentaries while we sit around the TV, probably eating more while we're watching that commentary than those people will probably eat all week. And yet many times we take our vast amount of food supply for granted. I just wonder how well we would do if all our material things were taken away and we had to live in total, true poverty and all we had was the clothes on our back. Would it shake our faith? Would we complain to God? Perhaps we'd become angry with God. What would your attitude be in a situation like this? In 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 6, Paul says, "Now if godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." And verse 6 here is really the key to spiritual growth and personal fulfillment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But it seems most people still believe that it's money and that it's material things that bring happiness and fulfillment in life. But the reality is that contentment and fulfillment comes when we have what we need. When we have what we need. But we become anxious. And we become discontented over focusing our lives on what we want, not on what we need. And like Paul, we too can be content without having all that we want. We need to be reminded of the things that we take for granted every day in our rich nation. Others in the world that see us and see the things that we have, they look upon them as unthinkable luxuries that they probably will never have. I think of the reports that we get sometimes from South Africa, where Scott is, Scott Tope, and where Betty and Jean are now, about how dangerous it is to just be on many of the public roads, and how delighted the church was there that we helped support, how delighted they were just to have folding chairs, and most recently they have enough money to pour a cement slab and build a tent to help keep them out of the weather so they can worship. But then you look at us. You look at us here in this building. We traveled to worship today unmolested. We're sitting in a soft cushioned seats, air conditioning, sound system. We have running water, place to park our fairly new cars. Just think of how blessed we are here at Courthouse and how thankful we should be. Not only as a church, but as a people. You know, there are people in the world that would give anything and they would pay any amount to have a Bible. A man some years ago, his name was Gene Doolin, who made several tours of Russia, had this to say. He said, "We saw tears of joy as people grasped the first Testament that they ever owned. As we sat at dinner, one brother in Russia held his New Testament and said, 'This is far more precious than any bread on our table.' Young people treasure their copy as they would life itself. And well they should," he said, "because herein is the words of life." And so you compare this with the attitude that people have in America today about God's Word. Many are just too busy trying to make more money, trying to enjoy the pleasures of this life, to sit down and enjoy the bread of life that comes from God's Word. Just about every home in America probably has at least one Bible in it. Many have several Bibles. So this might give pause for one to take them for granted, and we just let them sit on the shelf and collect dust. Those Russians during that time had the right attitude toward those precious words. They cherished it. They longed for it. They understood that if they had their own copy, that they could open that Bible anytime that they wanted and could learn more about Jesus and learn more about eternal life. You know, sometimes the only way that people are going to appreciate things is when they have to live without them. As our country continues to ignore God, as we try to have even His name removed from every public place, I know that it may not fully come to fruition in my lifetime, but I can see a possibility of the day when God's Word is no longer even mentioned, that His Holy Word will become just a history book collecting dust on a library shelf. As we think about what it means to be thankful, consider these words from Helen Keller in her book titled 3 Days to See. She writes, "I, who am blind, can give one hint to those who can see. Use your eyes as if tomorrow you would be stricken blind, and the same method can be applied to other senses. Hear the music of voices, the song of a bird, the mighty strains of an orchestra, as if you would be suddenly stricken deaf tomorrow. Touch each object that you want to touch, as if tomorrow your tactical sense would fail. Smell the perfume of flowers. Taste with relish each morsel, as if tomorrow you could never smell or taste again." So I wonder if we really know how fortunate we are. Helen Keller wasn't complaining here. She's letting us know that those who have these senses intact should know how blessed they are. And when you stop and think about this, how much would you appreciate if you had lost these senses and you had them restored? What would you give? We have a song in our songbook that comes to mind when we think about becoming discouraged in this life, and when life throws us curves and we have loss. And the title of this song is Upon Life's Billows. The word billows here is an interesting word. I had to look it up to really get the full meaning of it. It means continual surges of waves, or we may often hear it used when describing the result of a fire, as in billows of smoke. I don't know if you've ever seen a fire. Sometimes the smoke that's rising up out of that fire just billows out, and you see cloud after cloud after cloud. And sometimes in life, we have surges of despair and surges of uncertainty and loss. But the words of this song go like this. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And we need to keep in mind that God is over all. This life is but a fleeting moment in time when we compare it to eternity. And we need to keep in mind that no matter what we face in this life, we have help and we have comfort to the end of life's journey. And we should ever be thankful for God, who is over all. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the first part of this chapter, we read of the temple that King David is building for God. And we read of the offerings of gold and silver and precious stones and metals and the like that were willingly given from David and all the leaders of that time in order to build the Lord's temple. And in the beginning of verse 11 here of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we can read of David's prayer of thanksgiving to God. Beginning in verse 11, he writes, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. In summing up, I'd like to have us consider some of these things. If we live day to day as Christians without giving God the glory, then we are unthankful. If we are the one who lives day to day making little effort at serving and obeying the Lord, then we are unthankful. If we live as if our blessings come from our own hands, then we are unthankful. If we seldom take time or effort to truly care about others, our wife, our husband, our mother, our neighbor, whoever it might be in your life, if we don't take time to care about others, then we are unthankful. If we brood over our problems and we brood over the trials that we have to endure from time to time, and we never reflect on the good things that have happened in our lives, or even how these trials made us stronger, then we are unthankful. Our hearts should be full of joy. Our hearts should be full of gratitude because we have so great a Father that loves us way beyond our comprehension. We need to examine our souls. We need to count our blessings. And like that leper, we need to humbly bow at the feet of our Lord. If your attitude needs changing, and you've not been as thankful as you should have, then today is a day that you can make a change. You can make that change for the better. And it's time to say thank you that you never got around to saying. And most importantly, to say to God, if you're not a Christian, how grateful you are for this day. How grateful you are for another day to obey His truth and become one of His children. And to say to God that you desire to come forward, repenting of your past sins, and being baptized, as Mark 15:16 teaches us. I hope the lesson this morning has reminded us of just how rich we really are. How rich we are in Christ and how we can draw on His strength. And how we can start being thankful and content with what we have. And I'd like to end the lesson this morning with these words from David. This familiar psalm, Psalm 100. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures through all generations. If there's any way that we can help anyone here today, we stand ready to do that as we come forward and sing for your encouragement.